Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Final hour of the show starts now. Thank you again to Jason Donnelly, the Furman University Athletics Director, for spending an extended interview with us in the last hour. Diesel and I, you and I were kind of talking about that over the break there. And just a terrible spot, honestly. You know, it's kind of one of those things that I have sensed, fair or not, I have sensed a small bit, not a ton, but a small bit of hostility amongst Furman fans here in the area about the fact that it was baseball that was cut. I mean, there's not a lot of schools that have a as deep of a connection with their baseball team and its history, from my experience, as the Furman Paladins do here in this area. But as we talked to Jason there, the deeper we got into that conversation, Diesel, the more I kind of realized, unfortunately, and I think this is going to end up being true at a handful of schools, baseball is just the obvious choice to get rid of, as painful as that choice might be.
Yeah, there's a lot of fans who I still think mistakenly believe that the big three programs at their schools, big four, if you want to say football, basketball, women's basketball, and baseball, make money. No, they don't. At most schools, not one of them makes money. And I'm talking up to big Power Five schools. It's all about expenses. And like Jason Donnelly said, the money to foot the bill to run those programs comes from the university. It's not a revenue. It's an expense for the university as a whole. So you could say that, oh, well, it makes more money than, you know, underwater basket weaving. Well, yeah, but what does the university have to spend on baseball versus underwater basket weaving? You know, you have to figure out where what's costing you the most money and what's the most cost-effective strategy, what's the most cost-effective element to eliminate, and it seems in this case it's baseball.
Yeah, baseball is it is unfortunately a sport that has two distinctions. Number one, it holds I mean obviously nowhere near football, but it holds a not insignificant number of scholarships, right? Number two, it is an expensive sport to put on, unfortunately, when you take into consideration upkeep and not just scholarships but equipment, the size of the staff. And I think Furman actually has a relatively small staff. I think they only have three coaches on that staff, if I recall correctly. They've got Taylor Harbin, who we talked to yesterday. They got the head coach, and they have a pitching coach, and that's really the extent of their coaching staff. I think they have a couple of volunteer coaches that aren't on the payroll per se, but it's a lot of schools, it's a bigger coaching staff for baseball. Keeping baseball grounds is very difficult to do, right? Because you've got to be within certain numbers in terms of every aspect of the field of play itself, not to mention the upkeep of the fan and spectator areas, et cetera. So there's a lot to it. And on top of that, as we mentioned before we started talking to Jason Donnelly just a few minutes ago, the other aspect of it that I think for a lot of people is kind of an afterthought is in regard to Title IX, because despite the Rona, we do still have to maintain Title IX requirements, or else you lose the ability to compete at all. And so when you're talking about it, I know a lot of people have said, well, why not cut some of the female sports? Well, because then you threaten that Title IX balance that you must maintain. Whereas if you cut a couple of men's team, and Diesel, I thought you had a great question, which is, Is it possible that Furman Baseball comes back? Is it possible that Furman Baseball returns at some point? And I was very, very happy to hear Jason say, yes, that is something we'd all like to see and something that we have already discussed when that might happen down the road a bit. But the reality is, if you were to say cut a handful of women's sports and a couple of smaller men's sports, bringing back those women's sports, you would also have to decrease more men's sports otherwise, more than likely, and the funding that goes along with it. So Bowling Green has already sacrificed baseball. Furman has followed. And Diesel, it wouldn't shock me to see a handful, maybe not a ton, and certainly not of the larger schools, but it would not shock me to see the baseball programs of a couple of other schools around the country be the sacrificial lamb at the altar of COVID-19, unfortunately.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, again, it is a very expensive sport to operate. I jokingly said in the break a couple of segments ago that I had seen on television, I think I saw this, where Furman's already discussing what to do with the land that the baseball stadium is on, which kind of flies to the contrary of what Jason Donnelly told us earlier, that it's something that they would love to eventually be able to bring back. Well, how are you going to bring it back if you've just eliminated their facilities or reused that land for other things? But it seemed to me, right or wrong, that it seemed like, you know, the corpse isn't even cold yet, and they're already deciding what to do with that land.
Yeah.
In a time where we're talking about budget constraints, to figure out what to do with land right now and what to build on it, because let's just face it, it's a baseball stadium, it's flat ground. You're trying to decide what to build on it. That's a massive expense. So cutting an expense in order to take on another expense when the program's not even gone for 2 days seems a little backwards. And I may be wrong. I may have misinterpreted. So let's put that out there.
You know, I thought about that after you said, because you said that to me before we had Jason come on. And I think that's probably more of a university question than an athletics department question, so we didn't bring it up. But, Diesel, let me ask you a quick question. Have you ever lost anybody? Has anybody ever passed away in your life that you had any sort of input in decisions about what happens afterward? Has that ever happened to you?
No.
All right, it has to me. And what I can tell you is that when that situation arrives, and you have just recently lost someone that is near and dear to you, that is a major part of your life, you immediately have to start making decisions, right? There's not really a mourning period that you can say, I can't make any decisions for a few days. No, you have to start making decisions on the spot about what to do with assets. What do you want to do for an end-of-life ceremony, funeral, wake? How do you handle all that? Who gets invited? Who doesn't? How are you going to handle all of their assets? How are you going to handle their property? How are you going to handle the sentimental items? What are you going to do when family members start knocking on the door to claim their part of the inheritance, whether they have a right to it or not? And they're all difficult questions, and you have to answer those questions and keep answering those questions while you try to mourn the person that you have lost. And that is a comparable situation to at least to me, to what Furman is going through right this second. That baseball team, and I've recognized that in just a very few short months of being here in the upstate, that baseball team was more than just a baseball team to the fans of the Furman Paladins, to the alumni of Furman. That baseball team was a connection to that school that has been around for 140 some odd years. That baseball program has been in play. And you're right. It's to draw a very morbid comparison. It is like the corpse still being warm, but you have to make decisions. Unfortunately, this is not an opportunity for you to mourn. This is, if I may draw another comparison, this is like stopping the battle to mourn a fallen soldier in the middle of it. You can't do that. If you stop the battle to mourn a fallen soldier, you are going to fall right beside that guy. And it's a crappy spot. And I can tell you, that was the first time I have spoken to Mr. Donnelly. But folks in this area I have talked to about Jason have said he's upbeat, he's fun, he's energetic, he's a great interview. And that you just didn't get that impression. But that is, I think, that is because of the fact that he is, I believe, he is in mourning, as is the entire Furman Athletics Department, as is the entire Furman fan base, in mourning of something that was near and dear to their hearts that is gone. But it does not mean you can stop and stop moving forward. You have to be moving forward. If Furman, for instance, Diesel, if Furman could put something on that property that's a revenue generator, right, or something that increases the attractiveness of that university to students who might want to go there, and then increase the tuition, because remember what Jason said, tuition supplements the athletic department. They get more than a lot of large public schools. A lot of their funding comes out of the scholarships of students who elect to attend that university. If they can build something on that baseball field that attracts students, that makes them want to come there and give their tuition money to Furman, that's a positive for the university and for the athletics department moving forward. And while it hurts to have to make that decision right this second, while everything has gone south, it's a decision that has to be made and has to be made now in order to move forward. Let me grab a phone call real quick. Keith has called in to talk a little Furman baseball. Keith, welcome to the Rob Brown Show. Great to have you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My dad played baseball for Furman from 48 to 51, and unless they've changed some of the banners at Greenville Drive on Powell and Ports, there's a picture of him still in the stadium of him sliding into home plate, 1949, playing for Furman. He's about to turn 90, and obviously he was very upset with this news. His brother also played for Furman for a couple of years, and I understand the finances of it, you know, just hearing that they're losing $1 million a year. This is the one thing that I don't know that has happened. Maybe you can clarify it for me. I also spoke to a former player that is probably about 40 years old. I don't know that they sent out an email or a letter or had a campaign and notified all of the current players, the past players, the Paladin Club members, and wealthy donors that might have been willing to contribute to try to save the program. I know they called consultants. They crunched the numbers in-house. They made a financial decision. But again, you know, they've been around since 1891, and I want to know if they actually, to my knowledge, they didn't reach out to all the former players and ask them if there's something they could do to help continue the program. That would be my only, and I think it's a large concern about how this happened. I mean, basically, my dad found out about it watching the news last night. I mean, I know they got to make the decision. I didn't like the way the decision was brought to the public, and I'm not sure, and I would like to find out if they actually went to the players and the boosters and things like that in an effort to do everything they could to save the program. Do you guys have any insight on that?
Not any insight in terms of the reaching out, Keith, but what I can tell you, and I don't have any reason to distrust the numbers that Jason Donnelly gave us a second ago. He was talking about that athletic department running a deficit of $10 million in a best case scenario. And while I'm not saying it's not possible, there's two aspects of that. Number one, it is a stretch for me to believe that even hitting up some of the wealthy donors and wealthy former players and just wealthy boosters of Furman as a whole, that they could have come up with enough money to do that. But even if they could cover the deficit, at the end of the day, this is still going to be an ongoing process. And so you're looking at not just covering up that deficit now, but you're looking at covering it up moving forward, especially if there are no fans in the stands. And again, doing all of that, maintaining not just baseball, but every women's sport and every other smaller sport alongside it in order to maintain Title IX requirements. It just, to me, that would have been I'm not going to say it would have been an impossible task, but I think it would have been very, very improbable. And on top of that, I feel, Keith, like we are likely in a spot where Furman has a lot of balls in the air right now to juggle around. And in order to balance all of those things and then add trying to raise $10 million to float the athletics department budget for just a year would have been a big, big problem. John is up next. John's a former Furman player and coach. John, thanks so much for calling in the Rob Brown Show. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. I hear a lot of things that are being said that aren't quite accurate, to be honest.
Okay.
Furman baseball, according to the NCAA and the Department of Education, actually makes money, published. And they've broken even since 2009. It's out there and it's published. And I hear people saying that Furman baseball doesn't make money. And I don't know the dynamics of all that goes into it, but according to the NCAA and U.S. Department of Education, Furman baseball has made money.
Yeah, we asked Jason Donnelly that question. We had somebody chime in on the Twitter and ask about that. And basically what he said was that there's a fancy way of playing with those numbers that make things appear as revenue when they are technically not, because they're considered an investment, right? They basically list scholarships not as a cost but as an investment, when in reality they are costs. They are contributing to the deficit that has to be covered up. So it's technically not wrong to say, and this is just my understanding, and I am certainly no expert, nor did I stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But it to me, the way that Jason explained it, it sounds to me as if it appears on paper as if it is making a profit. But when you really dig into the nuts and bolts, considering those scholarships are costs, not investments, that yes, it does cost money to operate the program. But even if it doesn't, even if Furman baseball is making money, the unfair part about this entire thing is you cannot just look at it from the baseball only perspective. You have to look at an overall athletics department situation, including all of those federal guidelines that have to be matched, and cutting baseball basically saved you from a lot of trouble in a lot of other areas. It is an unfair thing, but this is one of those times that I don't know if you've had your father look you in the eyes and tell you, sometimes life's unfair, but this feels like one of those moments to me.
Yeah, I look at my kids in the eye and tell them life's unfair as well. Been in education for over 20 years and have said that to many young people. That being said, I feel like my utmost concern is that female sports are protected. That being said, I believe, and I'm not completely known about this fact, but I've been told that Title IX, you don't create equity by taking sports away. Legally, you're supposed to add to create equity. I know that's not possible with the fiscal problems that universities are having, not just Furman. But if you're going to say Title IX, I believe it's got to fall within that realm. I might be mistaken.
Yeah,
but don't quote me on it.
Yeah, John, I appreciate the phone call. It's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for chiming in as we talk Furman baseball here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. I think that is the spirit of it, right? That's the spirit of Title IX. The spirit of Title IX is to grow. The spirit of Title IX is to add opportunity, not take them away. But, and this is where this is just a tough reality that we're facing. The pandemic and the lockdown that we are under right now prevents that. Nobody is growing right now, right? I'm sorry to say, not to get political, the only people who are growing right now are the people who own the biggest companies in the country. The Jeff Bezoses of the world are growing. Nobody else is growing. Nobody's opening new businesses right now. Nobody's expanding franchises right now. And nobody's adding scholarships right now. And Furman, being, as Jason pointed out, one of the smaller schools in the D1 listing, is certainly amongst that group. And that's where that problem comes in. 844-477-3776. If you'd like to contribute to this conversation about Furman baseball and the struggles that Furman University is going through, as are all universities around the country, 844-477-3776. Text me 71307. Start your talks with ESPN. It's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coming up at 4 o'clock today, Mark Ryan will bring you the next installment of our Senior Sports Spotlight. If you missed it earlier, we had an incredible interview with a young man by the name of Dennison Jones. Dennison is graduating from J.L. Mann Academy, officer in the National Honor Society, played on the varsity soccer team, also played Charlotte Soccer Academy club ball, and also, oh, by the way, drove to Charlotte 3 to 4 times a week in order to play on that club squad for 2 years worth of high school and maintained his grades and held a part-time job and volunteered around the community and earned a full scholarship through the Army ROTC to head to Furman and play soccer for them. Diesel, you know, you and I have talked about our Senior Sports Spotlight. Some of these kids we are talking to, damn.
Yeah, they're way better than us. I didn't do like one of those things as a senior. So that's impressive.
They are way better than us. I laugh because it's true. And what's funny is I've made it a point to ask every one of them, hey, how are you handling this, right? The 2020 senior class is going through something that no other senior class outside of, say, like World War II has ever had to deal with before. And even then, I mean, they still had whatever activities they had going on. This class has none of it, right? This class doesn't have prom. They don't have graduation ceremonies. They don't have their spring sports that got canceled. They don't have any of that. And you know what's crazy? I hope that they were able to maintain this moving forward. But every single one of them has said something to the tune of, look, it is what it is. You make the most of it. You put your head down. You go on to the next thing. And you live and you get better. It's impressive, man. It really is. These kids are, these kids are better role models than a hell of a lot of the athletes that we talk about on the radio, if we're being honest with each other. So Mark Ryan's going to do the next edition of the Senior Sports Spotlight. That is coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Make sure that you tune in for that. Real quick aside story I wanted to get into very, very briefly. The Premier League over in Europe. Stop. I'm not actually talking about soccer. Just relax. Don't turn the channel. Get your hand off the dial. The Premier League over in the UK has confirmed just about a week and a half after training was allowed to resume for the Premier League teams that within a handful of days, 6 positive coronavirus tests carried out on 748 players and staff. And this is going to be the point where a lot of people are going to say, well, 6 out of 748 is like what? 0.03% of the entire population, what's the big deal? But as we have talked about and as we have pointed out, Diesel, the concern isn't the initial round of infections. The point is the exponential growth of infection once the virus shows up.
The spread.
Right. It's exponential growth, right? Which is why when this thing started, and we had people going, oh, there's only 15 cases in the U.S. What's the big deal? Yeah, there were only 15 cases. And now we're sitting on hundreds of thousands. And if we haven't already crossed 100,000 people dead, we're on the way. Exponential growth is a problem. And if you have six people positive, realistically, they probably came in contact with, what, a couple hundred others over the course of, let's say, a day that they had it but were not tested for it, right? If you get six people in a group of 748, it's going to get to some other people, unfortunately. That's the reality. And that is why I have to commend NASCAR. NASCAR, I don't know if you got to watch the beginning of the NASCAR race, Diesel. I know you said you watched some of it. The beginning of the race, before the race started, they were doing, to me, a phenomenal job of maintaining CDC guidelines, but also putting on the race. Every single person on camera had on a mask. Everybody was 6 feet away from each other. Mm-hmm. Nobody was breaking that. The interviewers were doing their interviews with boom mics instead of regular mics, right? Mm-hmm. So they'd ask a question from 6 feet away. Or they set up a mic stand with a microphone on it. The interview would stay 6 feet away from the driver. The driver would talk into the mic stand. When he walked away, somebody would come over and they'd spritz it down with disinfectant and clean it before the next driver came up to talk, right? Mm-hmm. They did a phenomenal job of maintaining all the CDC guidelines. And as far as I know, granted, I do not know, and I should, I will research, I don't know what the testing guidelines were for NASCAR. But as of, that race was Sunday, it's now Wednesday, we are coming up on, actually, as a matter of fact, we are 30 minutes away from being exactly 3 days after the race was concluded. I have not heard of a single coronavirus positive test come from NASCAR. I don't know what the testing guidelines are. I don't know if they tested everybody, how many people they tested, when they tested them, etc. But not one positive test has come away from that. That is going to be what has to happen for the sports that require minimal contact, right? NASCAR, golf, tennis. Those are going to be the requirements. We talked yesterday about the fact that the NFL is working on a prototype mask that can be worn under the helmet of a player to minimize the possibility of CDC spread, of COVID spread, using CDC recommended materials on the football field, where obviously person-to-person contact is mandatory, must happen, right? So we're starting to see this play out. The Premier League started to allow the players to gather together in small numbers for training, and already six positive tests. If those would not have been caught for another 2 days, you would have likely seen that six grow into 14. And that 14 grow into 50. Because that's how exponential growth without checks works. That's what we're trying to prevent. That is what will allow us to return to sports. Somebody made a point to me, Diesel, because I said the other day, what happens if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go have a practice and Tom Brady gets sick? And somebody approached me and said, Rob, what would you rather do? No football? Or football where you go, well, we can't risk our stars getting sick, so we're not going to play. The reality is the same thing that would happen if Tom Brady got the flu during the season, right? You're not canceling Tampa games because Tom Brady got the flu. You can't cancel them because Tom Brady gets coronavirus. And unfortunately, that may just be the reality we have to deal with. That you have to deal with the reality that if the players elect to play, and if the players elect to put themselves on the line like that, we may very well just have to recognize that, hey, sometimes players are going to have to miss games because of the Rona. And that's just our new reality. Quick break. We come back here in a minute. One more segment, then Diesel guides us through Twitter trending topics. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back. Final 20-ish minutes of the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Texter says at ESPN. By the way, Texter says, I think, is the unofficial official slogan of every radio station in this building. I've heard every host say, Texter says.
That's because nobody ever signs their texts.
True story.
And we can't see names for text messages.
Text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN and tag it with your name at the end if you want it read on the air. Your name, not the text. I'll always read the text. At ESPN, how about we not play sports again until we're clear? And let's not be selfish, Rob. Yes, this is a principle that ideally would be upheld. I agree with you, except for here is the fundamental problem that you face with that argument. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm saying it's a discussion that has to be had. The only thing that is going to clear us is a vaccine. Okay, that's it. That is the end game. The only thing that clears us is a vaccine. End of discussion, end of story. Herd immunity is a possibility, right? But we don't know the limits to which this COVID-19 virus might mutate. And frankly, it may mutate down the road past where we are able to keep up in making a vaccine, and we have to start the whole process over again. Right now, many scientists, most scientists, I would dare to say, are beginning to predict a second wave of the coronavirus sometime in the fall. A lot of people are beginning to predict a second wave sometime in the fall. I hate it. You hate it. We all hate it, of course. But it is something that has to be prepared for. We talked yesterday about the fact that South Carolina, who was one of the first universities to go on record saying we will be open in the fall, they sent out a second press release earlier in the week that said we are open in the fall, but with a capital B, but we will not return to school after the Thanksgiving break. They said after the Thanksgiving break, we will have at-home instruction for all students moving forward. And the reality of that very difficult call, unfortunately, is that South Carolina, at least in my opinion or my thought, South Carolina appears to be preparing for the realistic appearance of a second wave of COVID. And so the question is, do you play to that and try to be as safe as possible preparing for the second wave? Or do you just say no sports until this thing is gone, which realistically could be summer of next year? It could be theoretically, Diesel. We could be here a year from now still not playing sports because of the COVID. Let me rephrase that. If it's a year from now and we're still not playing sports, you and I won't be here. We will be doing something different. But a year from now, the country could be in a spot where we're still not playing sports.
And, you know, you still have to look at the very valid yet deservedly selfish segment of the population who, again, are completely justified in saying, my livelihood depends on this. We are in that category.
Yep.
And, you know, like, look, I get that it's dangerous, but, you know, some of us got to take the risk.
It is an ugly truth. It is an ugly truth that there are...
I mean, sports are a massive economic impact.
Absolutely.
And when you take that away and tell these people, we don't know when you're going to get it back, they still got bills to pay.
Sure. 100%. 100%. Again, I can tell you right now, if it gets to be September and there's no green light for college football at that point, I got to tell you, I get worried for me, right? And at the end of the day, I am really sorry, but I'm going to this is one point where Michael Jordan and I are going to line up. I got to look out for me. And a lot of other people do. So unless we get to the point where we're all getting, you know, $2,000, $2,500, $3,000 stimulus checks every month to CYA until we have a vaccine, yeah, I got to go figure out how the hell am I going to pay rent and keep my lights on and keep my water running.
And then becomes the question, how long can the government sustain giving those checks out?
Without work going on, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. Now, getting a deeper philosophy on the politics of that whole situation,
sure.
But we're not going to do that here. Instead, I'm going to read the latest text. Texter says, ESPN, where is your weenus located, arm or leg? Don't try to trick me. It's on your arm.
Yep.
Get out of my face. Don't bring that weak-ass trivia in here like that. Come on, man. Come on. You try to get me with some that is actually literally elementary level trivia. Like, that's some stuff you used to say back in the day. Like, I'm going to touch your weenus. It's a little flap of skin that goes over your elbow. That little loose skin right over your elbow. That's your weenus. You learned something today.
Some of you guys need to moisturize your weenus. Because some people have really dry weeni. Is that how you would pluralize it?
You can listen to Diesel on the planet every single night. Talking about his own weenus. In public.
I lather mine up every day.
Go to break. Just take me to break so I can go try. I just got a migraine in 3 seconds. That's incredible. That's a new record. Twitter trending topics on
thank
the back
Thank you, Texter.
Side. Yeah, thank you. Did you send that to you? Sent that text, didn't you?
No.
You sent that text. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
Here's what's happening in the world. Let's see what Rob knows about it. Topic number one is Paul Pierce.
Paul
Pierce. Come on down.
OMG. Paul Pierce went on the record and said that he does not believe that LeBron James is one of the top five basketball players of all time, which is flat out wrong. All right? I don't care who you are. You don't have to say he's better than Mike. Hell, you don't have to say he's better than Kobe. But to say that there's five other people better than LeBron James is just rank insanity. Sorry, Paul Pierce. The other thing I love about Paul Pierce is that Paul Pierce has been on the, oh, LeBron had to go to a super team to win. Number one, 08 Eastern Conference Finals, LeBron took you to 7, and you were on a, oh, what's that you said, Paul Pierce? Super team? Remember when Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett and Rajon Rondo and Paul Pierce were all on the same team together? I don't know. Here's a fun trivia question for you, Diesel. Who was on that team with LeBron James?
I'm guessing no one.
Yeah, that is the correct answer. Tell him what he's won, Johnny. His best co-player was Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Big Z was who Big L was relying on to take down the Celtics super team. And what happened? They took you to 7, bro. Sit down, Paul Pierce. You are officially canceled.
All right. Release the Snyder Cut is trending again.
It should trend until they release the Snyder Cut.
It's happening.
It's happening?
HBO Max
is officially releasing the Snyder Cut. Good, because that movie otherwise sucked. All right, I'm sorry. Here's the thing. Every DC movie, with one exception, has been at best. I'll say two. Zoe, what are the two best DC movies so far?
Wonder Woman.
Is number one...
Man of Steel.
No. Is okay.
What?
It's okay. It was okay.
If you say Suicide Squad, I'm going to come across this
Suicide
table and hit
Squad
you.
Was a waste.
God awful.
As a huge fan of Harley Quinn and the Suicide Squad,
as was
up,
Harley Quinn. Awful.
Tank that movie. I didn't even see Harley Quinn.
Really bad.
I love Harley Quinn.
They doubled down on how bad Suicide Squad was and said, let's just do it again.
Let's do it again. My guitar strap has got the Harley Quinn checkered pattern on it, right? I love Harley Quinn. I have since I was a kid. Didn't even see her movie because of how bad it was going to be. Can't wait till somebody takes over DCU and reboots the whole thing. The other movie that was at least decent was Aquaman. I thought Aquaman was okay. It wasn't terrible. It was okay. Wonder Woman has been the only one that worked. And Wonder Woman 84 will hopefully drop soon. Holla if you hear me. Gal Gadot and a side pony. Don't mind if I do.
All right. I don't know if you want to do this one or not, but hashtag rip. Shad Gaspard.
Yep. Unfortunately, they found his body near the beach where he let lost. Apparently, he went in after his son, who had got pulled out by the riptide, and as he was going out, told the rescuers, "No matter what happens, save my son." And we lost him. I thought what was crazy yesterday was the number of not just professional wrestlers but legends that came out to say that they had interactions with this dude. He was a real good dude. That's just a horrific story, man. Just a sad story.
All right, next up, hashtag National Rescue Dog Day.
Straight up, we've talked about it before. Dogs are the best pets. I'll hear no argument. All right, dogs are the goat pet. Other pets are cool. Birds are cool. Lizards are cool.
Yeah.
Cats, cats can be cool. Like, some cats are okay. Dogs are the goat animal, and if you are going to get a dog, adopt, don't shop. I have gotten 3 dogs from rescue, and all 3 of them were the best friends I have ever had.
People who constantly say, he's a rescue, are the Karens of the dog world.
You know what? I have heard that.
Those people need to be stopped. You didn't rescue a dog. You went to the Humane Society and picked out a dog. You didn't rescue it. Rescuing it is picking it up from the side of the road and nearly on its deathbed, washing it, feeding it, deworming it. That's rescuing a dog.
Listen to Diesel so passionately angry at people doing a good thing in the world.
I'm not
feeding the homeless.
I'm angry at people who virtue signal, say, look how good of a person I am because I went to the pound and picked out a dog. I rescued him. No, you didn't.
I think that is because of the alternative, right? Because the other alternative is, I paid $3,000 for my Chiwi Mocha Chocolate dog, and he's just the best, right?
If you've got the money, get what you want to get. Don't let other people make you feel bad for having the dog that you wanted.
No, rescue a dog. Rescuing dogs is better.
I'm buying a dog.
Rescuing dogs is better.
I'm buying a dog just to spite the people who say, adopt, don't shop.
All right, and then when they have to put down a dog at the shelter you could have rescued, and that dog has to go down because of you, you just remember
that.
It's
not the dog I wanted. I know what I want. I don't want
aren't
yet
you just,
another.
Aren't
I don't
you
want
just
a.
Reverse,
I don't want a pit mix. Saying, everything at the pound is a pit mix,
no,
and I don't
not.
Want one.
I have gotten multiple lab mixes, dude. You're just. Offsides with Mark and Lonzo is up next. Can you guys make sure you mention that Lonzo's or that Diesel's offsides like 3 times for your show, will you? That's coming up next. Thanks for listening to the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Later. You're so wrong, Diesel.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.